As I shared with the children, we are starting a new sermon series, The Adventures of. And this message is for of hope. There is a devotional where you grab your bulletins. It was not there when you grabbed your bulletins, most likely, but there's a little purple booklet. It is for the week. They are messages of hope and encouragement. I like holding things, so there will be printed copies, but I know some of you like to do things on your computer. If you would like a daily email, I'm happy to send that to you of it, or there will be a Facebook group that you can go and check whenever you want. Just let me know. I will repost that on the Emmanuel Facebook page. If that is where you like to get your messages, your news, encouragement, and hope. All right, here's also my public service announcement as a pastor. We are in the season of Advent. That is not Christmas. I know we see Christmas decorations. The season of Christmas falls on Christmas Day and goes for 12 days. That carol, that hymn, 12 Days of Christmas, it's because Christmas is 12 days long. It is not the day after Thanksgiving to Christmas. It is not December 1st to Christmas. The first day of Christmas is Christmas and carries for 12 days. Which brings us to the Feast of Epiphany, which because of this weird, wacky calendar, we will celebrate late this year. Also, as a personal choice, I could celebrate Christmas every day. So you will see Christmas carols in the Advent season. I have no problem celebrating the birth of Christ any day of the year. You should be lucky that we weren't singing them in August, and that we'll be singing them to February. Now, that might sound arbitrary to you, but that is the household I grew up in. We had to literally rein in my mom and say, you cannot until August and February, you've got to put it away. I love Christmas so much. Corey and I got married in July. Our theme was Christmas in July. And anybody who wants to have a wedding, not at Christmas season, it is such a great time to buy decorations right after Christmas season. That is bargain hunting for you. But I have no problem celebrating Christmas, but as your pastor, I want you to know that Advent is actually not preparing for Christmas, it is preparing for the coming of Christ. But let us celebrate the birth any day and every day we can of our Savior. So now that I've given you that message, please join me in the Gospel of Matthew. It is not in the book of worship, but it is in your Bibles if you are looking for the Gospel of Matthew. 24, verses 36 through 44. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The word of hope for the people of hope. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Well, now reading that scripture, you might understand why I gave you a public service announcement first, that we aren't visiting the Christmas story every week, but that we will be looking for our Lord, that Jesus is coming again. Isn't that a message of hope? Not only did we have a God who created us lovingly, and that we were wonderfully and beautifully made, but that we had a God who sent us God's child. And God could have prepared Jesus to take on the world, could have had powers beyond belief, strength of Samson, could have had the riches of the richest king, the wisdom of Solomon, could have been prepared to be a general army. And isn't that who we were looking for when we knew a Savior was coming to us? We were looking for someone who could defeat anyone. But God sent us a baby, someone to truly live with us, to truly endure all that we would as a human, from birth to adulthood. And was given no special treatment, was not born into a palace, but was born where there wasn't even room for him. Isn't that astounding? And when I think of poor Mary making that trek for a census, y'all, I didn't even make 9 months pregnant. I can't even imagine what she was feeling that day. And I love Corey to death, absolutely. But that poor Joseph guy, I can't imagine him going to Mary and telling him, there's no room. I feel I would have just ripped into Corey like, well, you better build a house. You better make a room. Kick out who you need to. I'm carrying the Lord's child. I mean, I was carrying Drew, and I would have done that. But not even room. That someone took enough pity and said, hey, you could stay with my animals. And that used the trough as a cradle. That's the level of special treatment God sent. He said, I want you to have no doubt that Jesus is going to live among you and like you and grow up in the house of a carpenter. Wow. That's how much God loved us. What a message of hope. That not only God created us, that God sent God's child with no special treatment, no helicopter parenting. I mean, I know parents who send their children to school and there is like a note of you will not do this, you will not do this, they will be exempt from that. That God truly sent a baby to us. And that child, that Jesus would know his entire life, that people were going to out him, that people were going to kill him. Can you imagine carrying that message day in, day out, and not letting that affect your judgment? Jesus let into his inner circle those who would deny him at the very end. And those who would betray him. And not only would he die for us, he knew it would be at the hands he helped. Wow. I've had bitterness in a heart for someone who didn't say thank you quick enough to me. And Jesus healed these people. Jesus walked with these people. Jesus gave his life, and people took it. That's a holy, holy message of hope, of love. But here's the message of hope. We haven't even gotten to it yet. Because see, all of that happened in the past. You can't have hope live in the past. Because you can't change the past. I mean, sure, we rewrite some of our memories. We sometimes put a rosy glow on what was a really challenging time in our life. But that's not where hope can bloom or grow or live. That's all happened. Do I believe we should celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus? Absolutely. What a holy event. But they didn't know it in the moment. And then the holy event that Jesus lived among us, Emmanuel, hello? We thought it was so great. That's what the church is named. Emmanuel, that God dwells with us. And lived a life, a very, very short life, even in our terms. And that he did it with love and grace and mercy, and did all he could to be inclusive and not exclude people who were on the outskirts, people who looked invisible to other people, people who were ignored on purpose, snubbed daily. And Jesus said, let's go have a feast. You know what? I'm coming to your house. What do you got? And that Jesus lived this life, willing to die for us. Here's the message of hope. That Jesus is coming again. Jesus endured all of that and still says, I love you enough to come back for you. That's a message of hope. Jesus didn't write us off because we made a lot of mistakes. That we might make a lot of mistakes alone today. But Jesus is still coming back because of his love for us, and that he knows that we are worth redeeming, that one mistake doesn't outright our story. That's the message of hope. That's the hope we can share, that God loves us so very much. And though we have tested it, though we have done wrong, though we have gone on paths that we didn't belong, Jesus is still chasing us down and saying, I love you. There's nothing you can do to separate that love between you and God. That's a message of hope. And Jesus lets us in on a secret. You don't know when I'm coming back. There might be signs that are pointing to it, but things are going to happen quickly. So be ready. Be prepared for me. Isn't that an interesting story? Except Jesus knows us really to the inner core of us. And I don't know how many of you are a little bit on the lazy side, but if I don't have to do the work, I'm not doing the work. If I know you're not checking my baseboards, I'm not down there scrubbing them. But Jesus says, you don't know when I'm coming back, so keep an eye out. And could you imagine how horrible it was if you did know when Jesus was exactly coming? You're going to save all that work till that last day. Anybody who had a report due at work or school, you have a month to do this project. The teacher reminds you every day, hope you're working on that project. You know, if you do a little bit of it every day, it's not going to be a big deal. And then we get a week in, and they're like, hey, have you started the project? You might want to start the project. You might want to look it up. You might want to make sure you have the materials you need for the project. Halfway through, hey, no one has asked me anything about this project. If you have questions, I'm available right now. I won't be able to give you an extension. And what do we say? Yep, I got it. Nope, problem. Yep, I've already looked it over. Not a problem. We're in week three. You know, if you want to turn in your projects early, I can start grading them for you. Nope. There might be one or two who were ahead of the class, but the most haven't even opened the book, haven't even looked at what the list is. Night before the project's due, ooh, I got to get to work on this thing. And you start looking and you're like, ah, oh, they wanted me to have this and this and this? That's ridiculous. Well, for a month, it wasn't ridiculous. It gave you a long time. If Jesus had told us from day one, okay, I'm coming on this date, well, then I'm going to live my life, and I'll see you at the finish line. But also, that you're doing the work. And when we say doing the work of Jesus, this isn't doing your job that you're like, oh, I have to do this. When you're doing the work of Jesus and you feel that Holy Spirit hit you, wow, isn't that a heavenly moment? Isn't that a moment of excitement? God, I was in the right place at the right time to help the person. and you had equipped me because you had been on the lookout for it. Those leaves I had you looking for the signs of God, how was God leaving you a loving reminder? That's because now we're in the season, the adventures. Amen. We're in the adventures of hope. Advent comes from Adventus in Latin, which means coming. Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but we should be on our tiptoes of excitement, like, oh, Jesus is coming. Let's get the surprise party ready. Have the decorations out. Have the good news to share with him. Jesus, here's what I got you. I was kind to my neighbor. You told me when they were hungry, I should feed them. And you said when they were cold, I should have an extra cloak for them. And Jesus, when they were in jail, I went and visited them. Because that's where you said I could meet you. And when Jesus shows up on that beautiful day and takes you by the hand and says, amen. Good work, my faithful steward. Now, this scripture I just read you, where one is left and one is taken, there's two very different ways to read this. If you were a big believer in the Left Behind series or a big Watch That, you want to be the one taken. You're ready to go to paradise with Jesus. And that is how some of them read it. And that, oh, the others are left here on earth to do the work and the drudgery of here. But there's also the take, the ones who are gone. We don't know where they went. And the ones left, they were the ones doing the work. They're the ones who are advancing. The name of Jesus may be here. Ooh, adventures can take a different take just on the way we look at it. Because we come from different places and different experiences and different readings. Is either of those wrong? I don't know. I don't know the end of the story either. Well, I know the end of the story, but I don't know that in between. And sometimes we got to be careful when we read scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you there's a couple things you can look up to match these up. Jesus brought up Noah. Now, the word of God was not arranged like it is now when Jesus was living. All those epistles after, they weren't part of it. But there were the law and the prophets. And the law included the story of Noah, which is in Genesis. If you start from 6:9, chapter 6, verse 9, all the way through the end of chapter 9 is the story of Noah, about him building an ark. Do you know how old Noah was when he was building that ark? 600 years old. Wow. Any of you, when I come and ask you to do something, you're like, oh, pastor, I'm just too old. I'm going to say, are you 600? Because Noah's out there building an ark at 600. But we dismiss sometimes. Sometimes we're like, oh, I'm too old, or I'm not equipped, or this isn't my talent, or this isn't my time. And God says, please listen. I'm choosing you for a purpose. See, some of you who have said, oh, I'm too old, God said, I know, you're so experienced. Isn't that a gift? How we could use that wisdom. For those of you who say, oh, I'm not equipped, oh, good, you haven't learned how to do it wrong. We're going to start fresh. For those who are like, that's not my skill, isn't that great? Paul puts in the scriptures, in my weakness, this is where God shines. This is where we get to point, oh, I thank you for the compliment, but that's all God. That's all Jesus. That's all the Holy Spirit. So in this season of hope, how is God calling you out to serve? Also, if you look what we just read, Luke 12:40 has a mimic of the scripture, and Luke 17:30 has a line from the scripture. And if you continue to 25:13, also is some of the scripture again. Why do I tell you this? Because this is the word of God as a whole. Now, what I was saying, if you have an encouraging message, a scripture that you take and you just carry and that uplifts you, amen. I hope the word of God is in your heart and uplifts you on those days that seem dark. I hope that there is a verse that always brings you peace. I share often that in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and overburdened, and I shall give you rest." For someone who suffers from anxiety, and I don't get a lot of sleep sometimes, or sometimes I overbook my calendar, and I wake up and I go, "God, why am I doing this?" How that verse can calm my spirit. I hope you have verses like that. Now, if you are using scriptures pieced out by the Bible to use as a weapon against your neighbor, that's when I come back to you and I say, read the whole book. Because it works all together. Amen. And when you start to piece it out into scripture as judgment against your neighbor, then you are missing a lot of the other scriptures. Because if I could pick out one that you just remember, when Jesus says, "I give you a new command, love each other." That's a message of hope. That if we could learn how to love each other, even in those tough moments, even in those days where we don't feel lovable, that if we can still reach out and love each other. And that you will notice that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of times that they interlocked and say the same scripture, but they say it differently. That's because we see the world differently. That's because we're addressing different people. That's because of our experiences, we're going to interpret it differently. That doesn't mean it's wrong. Sometimes then we have those discussions lovingly and can see it from a different point of view or see something we had missed. See how that message of hope could spark another person? That might mean you go study the Bible a little more. Some of you are going to look up what I just said and see, is that really what's true? If you like seeing interlocks of those in the Bible, I encourage you to get a study Bible. It will take notes on the side and be like, this verse will appear here, or that it's referencing here. If that's something that really makes the word more interesting to you or helps you grow in your study, a study Bible. Different translations will make you see the Bible differently. That is how you grow in your faith. This can't be the same word every time you read it, because you're reading it from a different place. You're reading it from a different perspective. It's going to hit you differently, those same verses over and over. I hope in this season of hope, this adventure of hope, you are excited to see Jesus show up in ways you don't expect. And this is going to be your homework. Look for those messages of hope. Next week and all through Advent, there will be a lockbox back there. And I'm going to ask you to put messages of hope. Messages, things you would like to see grow in the church, maybe a new ministry. Maybe it's the choir being so big we have to take turns singing. Maybe it is a different building appearing. Maybe it's a different, I don't even know what your messages of hope would be. Maybe it's having more children. Maybe it's not having enough room in that Sunday school building because we have so many Sunday school classes meeting. Whatever message God is putting on you as a message of hope. Now, you can sign it if you want. You don't have to. But this message of hope that you plant in the box will be read right before Advent next year. So almost a year away. I am not going to look at your messages of hope until then. You will see me take them out of the lockbox, probably Christmas, and I will put them in a sealed envelope. I'll have one of you write on it, so that I couldn't mimic it if I tried, so that you knew that this message is truly from you to God. And when I read them next year, I won't read your name with it, you'll know if God answered that message of hope or how God did. Maybe it will be completely different than you ever expected. But if you put it in the box, you are committing to pray for that message of hope. if that's having more children, if that's having a cantata. It can be a personal message of hope, but please know I do plan to read it out to others. So however you need to phrase it for it to mean something to you, that's how I would word it. But we're going to plant these seeds and messages of hope because I need you to see how real God is and how God is listening and how God is moving. Because sometimes we get discouraged and we're like, oh, I don't see God. Because hope is so powerful and yet so vulnerable. I'm going to give you a sign of hope. I know several of you have had concerns over our offering. If you see, and this is printed every week for anyone who ever wonders where our money situation is, we have needed per week $1,511.83. That is on a weekly basis to meet the budget that we have drawn up, the budget to cover ministries. Offering last Sunday was $1,819. That is over what we needed. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, Pastor Susie, but do you know how many Sundays we didn't hit? Why are you crushing my hope? Right? You mean well, and you want to put that message of, this is an area that we can grow. Here's my message. Church, we can't fit the business model. How we want to fit our numbers in, because they're great measurements, how we want to put it in attendance, how we want to put it in our budget. But those are earthly standards. And I'm not saying that they can't help us see things because we have human limitations. But God is working on God's timing and God's schedule. And God knows our needs way before we do. Anyone ever get an excess amount of money in their bank account and being like, oh God, no, I don't really want this. Because you know it's already earmarked for something. Your car is about to go under. You might have a really big hospital expense. I don't know. That's how it works in my household. So if I see extra money, I'm like, oh, I don't need it. We're good, God. We're good. But I took that as a sign of hope. Because that is something I'm praying for. You are a very generous church. And you have learned how to work some meager budgets into some big, awesome ways. Whether it's bringing a dollar up for communion in memory and bereavement, because you know when those hit, it might not be a convenient time. So you prepare for the rainy day. That Operation Christmas Child, oh, we can't come up with all of those gifts in November when they call for it. So let's collect all year. Let us have our children have a special mission. I see you smile. I see some of you give four times in the children mission offering. If Miss Bailey comes back with that net, you're not going to tell her no. That's a sign of hope. When we give generously. And as I said, how encouraging to see us above the line. Do I think that's going to happen every week? No, but I'm sure going to hold on to that message of hope that it can happen again. I told a loved one when my wound had healed, I know they were coming from a good place. They're like, oh, but now you need to be careful because it could happen again right there. It's weak and vulnerable. I know, but we're celebrating that it's healed. The world's going to try to steal your hope. So that's why I'm asking for it to be precious. That's why I'm asking for you to put it in the box and that it's between you and God for almost a year. A, I'm asking you to hold on to hope for a year. And if anyone just had that sinking feeling like, I don't know if I can. Good news. God can. And God's going to continually show up to encourage that message of hope. Perhaps you need a visual reminder of hope. Perhaps you've seen we've changed our pyramids. We are now in the season of purple. This is Advent color. You also usually see it around Lent. The other color for Advent can be blue, because purple means royalty and reverence. And then we wanted to distinguish between Lent, and Advent. So sometimes Advent is now the color blue, because the color blue is the color of hope. So I'm asking you to take note when you see this color of blue this week, that that's a way of God saying, yes, we got this. In a world that's trying to diminish, in this world that's trying to crush your spirit, for you naysayers who were sitting there going, oh, we can't keep up this giving every week. Why not? Why not? Let us have that message of hope. Perhaps when you came in the building, you had a renewed spirit seeing this beautiful tree with these beautiful chrismons, who you might have been one who decorated those chrismons, and to see them still being used, or you know a loved one who did decorate them. How our past can be encouraging in hope. Our hope can't live in the past, but it certainly can bolster our hope today. Maybe you saw someone in church you haven't seen in a while, or you just were so glad to see them. That's a message of hope, of encouragement. Perhaps your hope is seeing green, and that it can be warm in December, it's still November. This last week was long, wasn't it? That Thanksgiving, whew! But we are in a season of Advent and coming, and I don't know what your message of hope is, but I hope you see it, and I hope you grasp it. And even when the world says, oh, phooey, you go, oh no, 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 no. This is my moment. This is my moment to be encouraged. And my little light is going to shine for you too. Sometimes we have to be that light for others. We are in that season that can be grief, can be depressing. But sometimes that one little smile, sometimes that one little candle, sometimes that one little extra oomph is what's going to encourage you. Be that beacon of hope for others. Let that be the adventure to hold on to your hope this week, this year. And be on the lookout for that message from Jesus. What hope can I see come into this year? What seeds can be planted to grow? Maybe you'll come up with your own what hope means. Perhaps holy offering. Positive encouragement. Perhaps it's happiness outlook, persisting everywhere. Perhaps it's humble outpour, personal empathy. Whatever hope means to you, let that be the light for you and others. Here's a prayer from our book of worship. Eternal God, in your providence, you made all ages a preparation for the kingdom of your Son. Make ready our hearts for the brightness of your glory and the fullness of your blessing in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.